Good evening, Planning Commission. My name's Hunter Decker, the Clark County Forester, the staff who's reviewed last year's applications for this year's processing of open space. All right, what is open space? The state legislator has recognized the best interest in preserving and conserving open space lands for natural enjoyment, for resources, the scenic beauty. And it's also governed by the state RCW 84.34 and WAC 458-30. As well as Clark County Code 3.08. This year, we've received 4 requests for open space. We've had 0 requests for the timberland classification. And out of my review, which we'll go through here in a second, I've concluded that all 4 of them meet the applicable criteria that is referred to our code. Some of the main approval criteria that apply to all applications is parcel size. They must be at least 10 contiguous acres, exclusive of a home site. And the only exception to that is historical sites can be less than 5 acres. Weed control, every application has to abide by our Clark County Vegetation Management Weed Control Program. And by abiding to this, then they meet the Weed Control Program code. So we've had 0 applications for timberland. And we'll start with our historical applications. We have 3 of them. This is the first one. It's the Normandy Apartments. It's 0.57 acres. It's located at 318 East 7th Street, downtown Vancouver. An on-site review showed me that there is a building still there. It's built 1928 or so, and it has the certificate of listing through Clark County's Historical Register. And so therefore it meets the open space criteria for historical preservation. And here is a picture of the building. If you don't have any questions, then we'll move forward to the next one. All right, next is the Sedgwick building. It's requesting 0.09 acres. It is located downtown Vancouver, about a half mile north of the Columbia River, at the northeast corner of 8th and Washington Streets. An on-site review still shows that there's a building there. It was built in around 1907, and we have the certificate of listing from the Clark County Heritage Register. And so therefore, it meets the applicable code for open space historical preservation. And I therefore recommend the approval of this application. If there's any questions, we'll go ahead and move forward to the next one.
No picture on this one?
Oh, sorry. We do have a picture of this one.
All right, thank you.
You've probably seen it. It's pretty on a main corner there.
Yeah, it's got Compass Cafe in it, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah. Third application is the Kiggins 1922 building. It's requesting 0.23 acres. It's located downtown Vancouver on the northwest corner of 9th and Main Streets. It's also included in the Heritage Overlay District number 2, identified in the Vancouver Chapter Municipal Code. An on-site review shows that the building is still standing. It's built around 1922. And it is listed on the Clark County Heritage Register. So therefore, it meets all the open space historical preservation criteria. And we have a picture. And if there's any questions I can entertain, otherwise we'll move to the next final last application. Okay. The last application is called the Terrace Mitigation Bank. Now, this is an application for transfer from farm and agriculture classification to soil conservation. The applicant has requested that 127.25 acres out of the 127.25 acres be enrolled. It is located at 5721 Northeast 152nd Avenue in Vancouver, lying within the City of Vancouver's jurisdiction. Right now, the current zoning designation of the area indicates light industrial with the comprehensive plan of industrial. The Terrace Mitigation Bank has been established, a wetland mitigation bank on the parcels to mitigate wetland impacts within Clark County. Here's an overview of location where it's at. This is 162nd running north and south, and fourth plane up here is the main drag east and west. So that Safeway up here is right here in the corner. So these are the two parcels located right here. And I also added the comprehensive growth plan zoning so you can see where that overlay resides. Now I have two findings. Finding one, part of the soil conservation code, says tracts where a major portion is incorporated into a comprehensive park greenway plan. So my investigation showed that looking at the City of Vancouver's comprehensive parks and recreation and natural areas from 2014 to 2020, as well as our Clark County Conservation Areas Acquisition Plan, which was adopted in 2014, provide a thorough analysis of the high-value conservation lands countywide. And so with this, they identified lands that, you know, include greenways, habitats, farm and forest resource lands, and a lot of the plan identifies high value conservation within the Columbia South Slope, Vancouver Lake Lowlands, and the Burnt Bridge Creek Corridor, which is where we're talking about. And so with that, I found that it meets the Comprehensive Park Greenway Plan of both the city and Clark County for this area. And for finding two is public access may be required, provided public access shall only be required as long as the open space classification is in full force, in effect, and shall not be deemed to vest any permanent rights of public access or use. So, in order to meet the purpose of the mitigation bank, I do not recommend public access at this point. If the Planning Commission or Clark County Council deems that such access be a condition of approval, the applicant will be required to provide such access. Now, I'd like to state that Clark County's Wetland and Habitat Review Program Manager, if public access does become a condition, suggested that a viewing platform could be established to provide adequate viewing access to the wetland without impeding the sensitivity and functions of the wetland mitigation bank. And so providing just a blanket access to the mitigation bank would impede the sensitivity and functions of the wetland, harm the creation, reestablishment, or enhancement of these wetland areas, and would be a disservice to the public goals of the conservation to the loss of functionality of these wetlands. And so therefore, I do not recommend public access, and therefore I see approval that it meets finding one and finding two of this chapter of code, and I find that it could be recommended for approval at this point.
So, Hunter, will you go back to the overlay maps, please? Okay, so the Burnbridge Creek Greenway runs right through these, right?
Correct.
And isn't there already some connectivity and a trails plan to go through this same area along the creekway?
I'm uncertain of that plan, but I could definitely do my due diligence and look into that to provide for...
Okay, because I think that that kind of shades whether there's a consideration for any access, whether it's a limited access or not, for the connectivity of the trails plan and network. The other thing I'm kind of wondering about is if this is actually zoned light industrial, and there's really no opportunity for it to be light industrial, since we're making a wetland mitigation bank out of it. Shouldn't it have come off of light industrial, and when we just did our most comprehensive map changes, this change to open space designation?
I think it's in the city of Vancouver,
correct?
This is within the city of Vancouver limits.
So that's not something that we can do.
All right, so it's not our zoning.
The city should have.
The city should have.
Do you have an overlay of the wetlands currently existing?
So before I lose track of that, though, that's 152 acres. That's miszoned in the concept of the entire comprehensive plan, where we think we have 152 acres of light industrial that we don't really have. So it seems as if it's relevant to try and at least move that forward to the city for a term, because that changes the total inventory for the county.
Yeah. So we'll count that. Override. We count that, even though it's in city of Vancouver.
If the city declares it as light industrial, we accept the fact that it's light industrial.
But it is light industrial.
Light industrial wetland bank.
And I think our assumption assumes that 50% of the wetlands is going to get developed, which I've, for a long time I've advocated that that's a bad assumption, but that's sort of a different debate.
Well, what's our assumption on a mitigation bank where they're actively trying to make it more functional?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
that should be what they call an override, I think.
Yeah.
A site-specific override to take it out of the...
I think it needs to come out of the light industrial inventory.
Yeah. First, or just sometime?
Oh, I don't think what we're what Hunter's proposing should be stopped, but I think this is part of the due diligence of saying
I'd like to know if there's a trail. I thought the same thing.
I thought there's a trail all up and down Burnbridge Creek.
Right.
But what's the cross street again?
162nd.
This is 162nd.
Okay, so that's further.
That's to the east.
So the farm's right down here. That you drive by when you're going north, the dairy.
Drop downhill.
Anderson, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, let's just see what the trail plan says for that.
I think it's over here on this side, but I'm not 100% on that, but I will add that for our for next week.
Can we get an overlay of the current wetlands?
I could do that as well. I could probably pull up maps online right now. And you want me to do that?
No, you're okay. Question. This property, if we make the change, will be available for mitigation for other wetlands. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Well, it's already owned by the Terrace Mitigation Bank. And they are already, I believe, working towards, I think the applicant is here if you'd like to ask any questions directly.
Yeah, so we're the owner of the bank, and we went through the process of permitting and approval with the Army Corps of Engineers.
This meeting is recorded here, there by Mike. Would you mind?
Sure.
Thank you.
They want to re-identify yourself.
Where would you like me to be?
Anyway,
just sit there. Thanks. I sit close to the microphone.
Yeah, so my name is Cornell Rocci, and we're the owner of the Terrace Mitigation Bank. And so we went through the permitting process with the Army Corps of Engineers and Department of Ecology and the federal EPA. And we took about 4 years, and we went through all the approvals, and part of the approvals was, or part of the requirements to turn this into a mitigation bank was to put a conservation easement across the property, which effectively protects it into perpetuity from further development. So that's been done, and it's been selling mitigation credits since about a year and a half ago. So it is in it is already in place.
Question. If it has changed, can both Vancouver and Clark County property owners mitigate to this if they have wetlands on their property?
Yes, it goes by watershed boundaries, and there's a service area that's associated with our master banking instrument that allows mitigation that effectively wherever it's in the service area. And as far as the wetlands, we had extensive work done on it, consulting work to determine what was existing wetlands, what was existing uplands, and then the issuance of credits was based on those conditions. So our objective is to turn the entire site into wetlands to mitigate for offsite impacts. So it is currently transitioning into a working wetland.
Is there a trail on it?
No. Now, I'll give you a little bit of background about that. The agencies, the interagency review team, which is consists of the Army Corps, the Ecology, EPA, and the City of Vancouver, which is represented by Brent Davis with the interlocal agreement. They do not want any public access on the site, and so there is an existing BPA right-of-way or easement on the south portion. There's some existing city stormwater facilities, and the IRT, the agencies, were concerned about any activity, public activity that would come from that. So we were able to do some mitigating efforts to try to buffer those human activities from the functioning of the wetland and habitat. So they're pretty against public access. And to try to include some public access would be, I think we'd get quite a bit of resistance from those agencies.
So it buffers a major residential area, does it? Mm-hmm. And the agency's agenda is protection of the environment. The reality is that people use linear-based recreation as a major pursuit. So if there's a trail in the area, whether the agencies like it or not, the public will find a way of going through. Wouldn't it be better to somehow factor that into the perimeter and provide that connectivity if there is a need for connectivity, as opposed to having a long-term management problem?
If there is connectivity, it makes sense that it would be under the BPA right away.
But where is that again?
The BPA right away is along the south.
South border.
Yeah.
Kind of running right through here.
Right.
Yeah.
You can see it.
That's a nice buffer from the development to the south.
And so let's find out if there's already a trail plan, and then we can talk about it from that standpoint.
Yeah. And I don't know if there is a trail plan, and it never came up in any of the cities or counties or IRT
would
discussion.
That surprise you?
But even today, let's say it's not in the trail plan today, does it mean that there will never be a trail requirement in that area? And it'd be better to make sure that there's some provision and not a long-term management problem.
I'm open, to having that discussion. I just think if there's already a plan, it puts it on a different level.
It puts it on a different course.
Yeah right.
All right, any other questions?
Any other questions?
No. All right, thanks.
All right, thank you for coming, and I'll take all your questions and concerns and address them for next, for the public hearing.
Okay, great. And then before we wrap up, I think Chris Cook wants to talk about something for a couple minutes, and then we also need to vote on who gets to go to the Bonneville, Camp Bonneville Committee. Wow. They said they only want two. We have
who's
three.
Going? We're still at three.
We're at three. It's between you three. If one of you wants to drop out, otherwise we could do like a secret ballot vote or something to see who gets on.
Why can't three be on?
Yeah. I don't know. They told us to. We asked for three, and they said
they're afraid we'll overwhelm them.
Yeah, they should. You know what? They should make the decision.
We gave them that choice. They threw it back.
They wanted Ron and I to agree on it, and we both agreed that we should have a planning commission vote rather than us unilaterally making that kind of a decision.
Yeah, nobody would like that. You know what? We'll do. That's one choice.
Is this what you want to talk to me about, or you got something else to talk about?
I have something else to talk to you about, but feel free to finish this up before I start.
Right. Well, we need to take a vote somehow.
Unless
you have a better idea of what to do. We told them we wanted three, and if they wanted two, tell us who, and they kicked it back to us.
Yeah, they would do that.
And,
so we could just do a quick...
Just put the names in a hat and draw.
No, I'll draw.
Good?
I'll draw.
You sure?
Yeah, I want it for reasons, but I don't agree with all the reasons why we all want it, but this is ridiculous. This is poor leadership on our counselors. For the record, make a decision. My goodness. It's okay, Chris. It's not politically correct, but sometimes you got to say what's on. That's why they're counselors. Just like what Ron said with this, have you heard it again? I just, the same thing. Make a decision.
Yeah.
They never gave us the parameters of two or three to tell. Let it happen.
Are you sure? Because I'm happy to do the group vote and take the...
No, I don't want to put us in a position like that. I don't think it's fair to...
Well, draw random names. That's...
Oh, you mean just random names?
Well, that was Dick's suggestion.
Well, I thought
that makes sense.
Well, I had suggested a vote.
Ron had suggested a vote. That sounded fine to me. But if you're uncomfortable with a vote, we can do a random. That way, there's no commitment.
I don't trust Ron. Could you put that in names?
Yeah, it might be somebody outside.
We won't let Ron do the drawing.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll end up on the ground. I'm like, wait, I don't have to be on this thing.
I'm out. And really, honestly, I'll give the other side of it is a time, but I really am passionate about that. But I'll just stay close to it, tight to it.
Well, then,
my game is youth. My game is getting youth in there, and that's really what my drive was.
Okay.
Before that, it's kind
of. You could always go to public meetings and heckle them.
What's that? Yeah.
Go to public meetings.
Now you can harass Richard and I from the from the seats on the outside.
Here you go.
All right, Sonia, can you let them know? Because Oliver's not here.
What's that?
Can you let, I guess, Tyler know the two names?
Two?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention.
Carl's out.
These
two.
They voted
Carl and Ron?
Yeah.
No,
there you go.
Carl's out.
This is the way it's all working out.
Okay.
We took a vote. Carl and Ron.
Okay. I'm here to basically ask you all to do your homework. Sorry, but that's what's up. The purpose of a work session is to prepare for the public hearing, and that's so that the Planning Commission can prepare, the public can prepare, and staff can prepare. For the public, it's part of the public participation that's required by GMA and the Washington Administrative Code and County Planning Code, and it, a work session informs the public of what has been proposed and what ideas and issues and questions there might be regarding what's been proposed. And therefore, it helps inform the public so that their participation can be more meaningful. And that's important. As for staff, it lets staff know what's on your minds. This was such a great discussion you all just had. And, you know, Hunter said, you have that question. I don't know the answer. I will research it and get back to you by the hearing. And that's because there had been some long thought about this. And when there are deep, hard questions, like, you know, my favorite, is there a cost-benefit analysis or whatever? When there are hard questions, then we can delve more deeply into the facts and the law and the issues. We can perhaps post a question and answer. And, you know, again, it helps us prepare for the public hearing and ultimately for council. So, how does this help you? By the time of the work session, you've had these materials for a while. You should have reviewed them. You should have developed some expertise, some thoughts, some questions about them, so that you can ask good questions and have a good discussion like you did tonight with a wetland bank. And Oliver and I have spoken about this and spoken to other people in planning and so forth. We would really like to see as much of that as possible, preferably more, especially when there are really, really difficult, complex, like billion faceted issues like 179th. And, you know, if there's a PowerPoint presentation, everybody sits there and, no, we don't have any questions. I don't think it's serving its purpose. So, please feel free to bother the staff and me with more questions in particular at the work sessions. I mean, this is a really good time for a less formal discussion, right? So this is a good time to already know what interests you about the proposals. I know it's a lot of stuff. I know regardless of the fact that you get fed wonderful potato salad and cookies, you're volunteers. But you volunteer. So, do the job.
All right.
So I have a question. So from my perspective, obviously being new, so is the goal of the work session, is it to help hone the proposal for the hearing?
Usually it is not going to hone the proposal. Usually the proposal is pretty thoroughly honed.
Our presentation.
Usually. But it may definitely affect the presentation.
So saying, hey, you know, I think maybe you should change these slides around or present it this way.
We want to know about changing the slides around. Okay. We want to know whether staff knows about the public access that may be required there.
Some more technical points.
Yeah, which you all are supposed to be concerned about when you vote on these things.
Which staff should bring forward to us?
Staff will bring forward, believe me, staff has been thinking of this for a long time.
I spend lots of time reading them.
Yeah.
And I spend tons of time reading them.
I bet.
And yeah. I, to the point of that nausea, I mean, to the point where you go, this stuff is, I'm getting too deep. And then you come back and you go, okay, there is a trust factor sometimes. I listen to Ron, I'm okay with this word, you know, how many times does staff get it wrong? But I think that the research is my part. My goodness. I just don't, I look for the answer, I hear the answer, yeah. And I don't want to sit there and dink around the
right.
bush. So my non-questioning or questioning is based on a grasp of the deal. So I don't know where this is coming from. This is all, to me, a little bit strange. I'm like, I don't understand it.
Well,
is it not something that you are seeing or you want to see more of, or is
I would like to see more of it.
So let me throw this out. In the history of these work sessions, there used to be more counterpoint discussion, and even in situations of just trying to get thought-provoking concepts out, it wasn't unusual for people to take an advocacy and a non-advocacy position in the work session to try and push the real logic statement behind the choices that are made.
And sometimes it might even change those presentations of choices.
Well, I wasn't here for 179th because I had a conflict of interest. I was here for WSU, and I thought we asked a lot of really good questions on that work
WSU
session.
WSU was
then,
a good one.
And then I got conflicted out of that one because one of my clients opposed it. Not one of my personal clients, one of my firm clients.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think general, we are asking.
But even 179th, I mean, there was elements of 179th that were so big and so it's coming. That's another thing that happens, Chris, is this stuff comes to us and it's like, okay, you know, this is here, and these are such big, giant moving parts that, okay, we're just doing this little thing. And I think Ron drives him nuts sometimes, but we don't. But
it doesn't bother me.
No, because it comes to, okay, we're doing this little thing, we're not doing that. And that's been the argument every time, where you go, but so you look at 179th and you ask, I mean, I went as far as you could based on the information brought to me saying, this is pretty cut and dry. This is not we're not building 5,000 houses tomorrow. We're not. But we're looking at an urban home. And it was pretty basic.
And you're entitled, certainly, to your point of view
right.
on that.
To an extent, that was the same answer we got for WSU as well. And we asked a bunch of questions, and the answer was, well, those are all really good questions, but they're not for this process.
That's
they're for the master plan process before
exactly
the hearings
right.
examiner, not for the planning commission. We're just presenting you with this really
that's
narrow
that's
question.
That's what they'll always tell you.
So every answer, we
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's exactly
I'm not saying it's the wrong
anyway.
Answer.
That
I'm just saying that is frequently
anyway.
The answer.
And that creates a record, and the record is kept, and if there were an appeal of any of these decisions, it's part of the record.
Well, and it did give the public who were here that night the opportunity to hear that,
mm-hmm.
So maybe they didn't know much about the master plan process. Maybe they learned something about it, and so maybe they will show up and participate, and maybe their participation will be better now that they, learned what some of the criteria are and heard our comments on it.
Yeah.
Well, that also really, because there was another council work session that was just this past Wednesday, yesterday, on that, and it informed staff's presentation at that work session. It really helped make on WSU.
So our hearing helped inform a better presentation to the council.
A more informative, deeper presentation by...
Was that their work session or their... Did we go out there?
It was just their work session.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was helpful. It resulted in the WSU people having some different things to say, and it resulted in staff having more things to say.
Right.
And again, it's record for whatever use that is. If there is some kind of further set of proceedings, those issues are now part of the record. I read a brief once that quoted a planning commissioner. It would have been George.
Oh,
he's talking about the John Deere tractor.
We were both quoted by Jamie Housley at a hearing that I saw on TV a couple months ago on a different issue, but it was a planning commission, and he was in front of the hearings examiner.
So I,
you can tell what I do at night if I'm watching.
Yeah.
Hearings examiner hearings on TV while I'm eating my pizza.
Hearing what Chris is saying, I guess if I would put it out to my fellow commissioners, starting off with perhaps more skepticism, hear me out, Carl.
Hear me out.
Yeah. Starting out with the idea that an acceptance of an approval by staff should not be without full review in your mind of the potential outcomes other than the approval.
Well, sure, but if something red flagged, I'm going to say it, but this idea that I start out with staff that somehow, and I'm probably changing what you're saying here a bit, but you know, what they're saying is not.
I don't think what I'm saying is don't start by going to see what staff said if they approve it. I'm saying that there's pros and cons to everything, right? Under all these circumstances, the change is going to have impacts. They're not going to be positive necessarily for all of our constituents.
And the proponent always bears the burden of proof to demonstrate that the criteria are satisfied. So it actually does begin at a, or should begin at a, you tell us why this is right, why it works. If you think that's effectively and sufficiently done in the staff report, that's great.
No, but I don't. I think if our approach is always to stand on that side or lean to that side, we're doing a disservice to both sides. So
that's what the law says.
The law doesn't say
demonstrate compliance.
To staff, but then when it comes from staff and it's been filtered and staff says, these things have been met, and I look at 1, 2, 3, 4, what am I supposed to do? Say, well, I question that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
If you do, I mean, don't say that.
I'm not saying.
But
there are things in it that I don't do.
You're entitled.
Yeah, just because staff says all of the criteria has been met, we are supposed to be looking at that independently.
No, I'm not saying I do. I'm saying that is, I do not do a blanket override of staff at all, ever.
I know that. Nobody should. Not a blanket.
But at the same time, I look at them and their credibility and their knowledge and their trustworthiness from the past. That's something, you know, and I say, that has proven track record for 6 years. They have never lied to me. They have never shown me, our staff, any ethical problems. Now, have they missed it? Absolutely. But that's where we've called them on. So I don't know. That's where my problem with this, Chris, is we're just kind of going, like, this guy out left field. And I like stability and straightforwardness. And where's it coming from? So
was there a feeling that there were questions asked at the hearing that should have been asked at the work session
on 179?
Yeah. Because I wasn't there for either one.
I watched on TV. My view of that. Yeah. I can't tell you
tell
about
me about
anybody
your
else's.
Well,
this is not just me.
All right.
Okay.
You said you can't tell you about somebody else's view, so I just tried.
Well, I cannot tell you what somebody else thinks about the questions on 179.
I'm just wondering because, I mean, part of the purpose of the work session, to get back to your earlier question, is if you're at the hearing and you ask this big question like the trails, they're like, gosh, I don't know.
So then we have to make a decision based on an answer, which is, I don't know, because the county council didn't really like it when we hold stuff over for another couple months because it delays their whole schedule. So if you ask it at the work session, then they can go back and answer. So I'm wondering if there were a bunch of questions. And sometimes it can't be avoided. You know, a new question might come to your mind based on a neighbor comment that comes in at the last minute or something. But
sorry, I missed it. What did you say?
Whether or not enough questions.
Yeah.
Not
enough questions at the hearing?
Yeah.
Or at the work session?
And not enough questions at the work session either. But it's not just 179. This is something that has been observed for a while, and I'm not saying to anybody here that you don't spend hours reading this stuff and that you're not diligent, because I know better. But feel free to please discuss things that may strike you as issues when you're doing your reading and due diligence. And if nothing strikes you as issues...
Well, that would never be, I'm not saying.
Yeah, but if by and large you would look at a particular recommendation and think that looks solid,
right.
That's, you know, feel free to say.
Ron taught me, and I don't say that very often, just much before I start that statement out. Ron taught me one time, he told me, don't be afraid to tell us your, this is when I first started, don't be afraid to tell us your opinion, even if you're agreeing with what your thoughts are on it. So I was like, well,
yeah.
I agree with, and I'm more that guy. I don't want to dilly-dally around this. I don't want to repeat the things 14 times that have been said, and because we ask the public not to do that, which they don't always master. But the idea is, okay, I'll give you what's on my brain, and my thought process, and I think I've done it more. Yeah, that's fine.
And even when you ask questions and you kind of get, that's not what's before you today, that's really useful for the public. Because if you're asking a question about something that isn't strictly part of the proposal, imagine how much the expertise the public has on that. You all know a lot more than most of the folks who come here to say, you know, this is going to affect my neighborhood and this is why I like it or don't like it. So it's helpful if that idea is in front of them.
On the 179th presentation, one of my pet focuses on infrastructure, and the TIF would be 20% by the developer, with the rest being kicked in somehow, some way by the county. And they talked about how long they had to kick the money in. Then the question was talked about, what about the I-5 interchange?
Mm-hmm.
And it was stated flat, bluntly, WSDOT's kicking in 50 mil. And that was a gossip.
Well, that's been appropriated by the legislature.
Yeah, but the thing is, so it's not going to be available for 7 to 10 years.
Well, that's not correct. This is
23, right?
Yeah, 23 to 25 is what our last word is.
Yeah, and in talking to WSDOT, that isn't a positive that it's going to happen in that time frame. You're put on a prioritized list for that, and if that doesn't come about, even in 5 to 7 years, that is a burden on that whole area out there. And I wish I had known that. I didn't. I didn't ask. I assumed it was gossip.
Well, I mean,
anyway, at one point you said something about me being very close to 179th, which I thought was pretty funny, because I'm viewed as a skeptic about it. You thought I was being a big supporter, so that's probably somewhere in the middle. But I have been working on 179 a lot for the past year plus. I know how complex it is. There is a lot that, you know, when you have a 20-minute presentation, you skim over.
But this is being fed to us in very small bites.
Yeah.
And that's what, that's kind of goes back to my point. But, Chris, I always assume, no matter if you agree with something or not, either you're very good at pulling your cards or you're very honest, which I feel to say, it's not my business to give you my opinion. I thought close meant just what you said. You know that.
It's been much more than a year and a half. I mean, it's been since the...
That's what I took when you said.
Since the hold was put on the...
Well, I really only got involved in it the last year plus. You know, Chris Gordon was leaving the county because he was the person that was working with Public Works and the ComDev. So somehow I inherited that. It's been around for a long time.
Oh yeah, because that property's been in the UGA and in Urban Holt since I moved my office back here in 2004.
Yeah,
because I remember Bob Durian complaining about it for Anderson Construction in 2004.
Yes. Yep.
And he had a big, I don't know, he had some old study and old transportation plan from way back when. It's been an issue for 20 years probably.
And if you're still interested in it, the council's going to have a work session next Wednesday on...
No, I'm not. I'm conflicted.
Yeah. Well, I'm not asking you to come and talk. It's a work session.
Yeah, give me something you can watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I can watch it.
They're going to talk about their funding options.
Yeah, that was a big question.
Yeah. That is ultimately the big question here. Where's the money going to come from?
Yeah, I was having
fun with cages already.
Yeah, because I moved to Seattle.
On the interchange.
Because I really wanted to drill
all grants
down because I'm still questioning.
I was looking forward to
Yeah, no, I had all my questions and everything, and I'm going like, I got to go to Seattle, and I cannot get out of the Seattle meeting, and that because to me that was a weak link.
Oh. Yeah, I missed that. I missed that too because I got bumped off my flight.
There were four of you.
Four of us trying to, you know. And I remember going, okay, once one's gone, two. I almost said, you know, let's think about this.
You would have had to not show up.
No, I didn't want to do that. Yeah, because I knew I was back what you said, which is I was fine. That was the easy part. The part that I wanted more was more. Maybe we're saying the same thing because half the things I disagree with Ron, but he provokes the thought.
Right.
He provokes the thought.
Right.
And so then it'll bring me out. I don't care about Steve.
It's because you never disagree with me.
Yeah.
He does. The attorney questions.
He does.
Right. There's the fan club right there. The attorney likes the attorney questions.
Hey.
Alright, well, I'll take it that it's just nothing big, that you're just giving us some insight, but I hope nothing's going on.
That is absolutely correct.
It was very hard to be prepared for. And I do sometimes, and you could accuse me of my mind is made up, and it's not made up because I switched to the back page staff. I look at it pragmatically,
and
I do look at things like this is coming or this is not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's sometimes dangerous. You know, this is 179th is coming. No matter what we say, it's coming because the nature of I-5 and the energy. And so I'm not saying how or what. I don't.
In the X number of years since that has been in Urban Holding, which
15 now.
Your partner reminds us of, every time.
Oh, does he?
We meet.
See, I have never even talked to him about this. He didn't even, I didn't even know he was involved until you guys mentioned it to me, like, I don't know, 3 months ago or something.
But in that time, the county has
I heard it from you, not from
urban
my partner.
Holding in every other part of the county where it existed. Right. So it's not like we've been sitting around doing nothing.
No. This is the last urban holding.
This is it. Yep. Till the next expansion.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, do you know they speaking of the next expansion, like 6 or 8 months ago we had a joint meeting with the county commissioners in this room and they said, yeah, we need to do some kind of comprehensive farm study to address that new WAC. Have they done that or started that or is that just
farm study?
Well, because there's the new WAC that says if you're gonna bring in farmland, you've got to do sort of a comprehensive look at all the farmland in UGA. You can't just say we need to bring this piece in. You got to look at all the rest and kind of do it all. They said they weren't going to do that study when we had the meeting here, but I haven't heard anything since then.
Well,
have they hired a consultant to do the study or no?
The composition of the council may have changed a little bit since then.
A little.
Yeah.
How is it the dynamics that I have? How are the dynamics?
I mean, I think they're still.
I think they're fine.
I think three of the people that voted for it, though, are still here.
I don't know about these figures.
But you don't necessarily know what they would vote on, how they vote tomorrow. So all I can say is that I am not aware of any concrete.
They haven't started. They haven't hired a consultant that's gotten work on it. Okay. So we haven't started studying that formally. Okay.
How are we doing in court, Chris? We're not done. I mean, are we still, this thing never done?
These are the good, hard questions.
No, but no, I mean.
Yeah, well, the last one took 7 years, the last comp plan.
Right.
So it's only been three.
But I thought we were looking better.
Two and a half. I'm sorry?
I thought we were looking better. I mean, there are some things we couldn't. No, there are some things we couldn't really.
There are some things that we cannot fix, and I continue to hold the position that we should and will ultimately win on that. But I don't know how many levels we're going to have to get to before we get there. So that's the UGBs of Richfield and LaCenter. The other issue is the Rural Industrial Land Bank. The council adopted a moratorium and readopted it, so it's effective until August, I believe, on any applications for development under the Rural Industrial Land Bank standards. And that is so that that is because specifically the growth board suggested that in their last compliance order as some kind of showing that we were doing something about it. We, you know, the council hasn't decided to get rid of that designation yet. I don't know whether they ever will, but it's non-compliant, so. It's an issue of non-compliance, and
our
that's an issue of
contract money. With the railroad.
The contract with the railroad. So I am no longer working on that. As you might have seen in the paper a bit ago, that's going to mediation.
And it hasn't yet.
I believe it's next week.
Well, thank you. Thanks for your hard work.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, really?
And you all really are appreciated.
Where's all of them? He sent you?
He sent me. He sent Sylvia and Larissa.
He signed
me. Are you talking about that?
All of them. Yeah.
He's home.
Dumb question.
Yeah. Yeah. Smart man.
Yeah. All right, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
thank
we're
so
adjourned.
Keep the questions coming.